Our second scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And as he said this to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight, and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for a fish, you will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will you give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Still working on my instructions here in the church. Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Thank you very much for having me in this congregation, and thank you quite kindly for not asking me to sing today. It's a gift to all of you, really. When you have the kind of beautiful voices that we've already heard today, I am even more grateful that I'm here to speak and not to sing. I must tell you that for most of my adult life, I've had a microphone in my hand. And yet, coming here today and being here today and being in this moment is a little bit nerve-wracking for me. Different house, you know? Different studio. Different studio. So I'm hoping for some forgiveness right out of the box, so I don't have to ask for it later. But when I was honored enough to ask to speak here today, Pastor Cindy, who I know is in all of our hearts today, asked me what I would like to talk about. And I said, "How about faith in the community?" Because that is something that I know about. And that is something that we all know about. So here we go. You ready? I think we all believe that faith is a very much living, breathing, constantly evolving thing. When present, it fills us with comfort and a loving knowledge that every little thing is going to be all right. When absent, it lands us on our knees in the middle of the night, wondering, "Why have you forsaken me?" People of faith have 1,000 reasons and 1,000 ways to reach out to the God of their choice. But what about reaching out to our community? The one we've chosen to be our community. It's tough to get up when we're on our knees, but it's so much easier when there's another hand to grasp ours and help us to our feet. Faith in our community requires exercise. It's like any other muscle in our body, right? You don't lose it, or if you don't use it, you lose it. Faith also requires on our memory and our experience. And we are lucky enough in this place to have plenty of examples of both of them to rely on, to count on, and to be inspired by. It was some years ago when we all awoke to the horrors of September 11th, 2001. We were all frozen in shock and in fear, and then we got busy. It's what we do. We get busy. Although the attack fell on the shores opposite ours, it didn't stop us from gathering together to lend support for the people who were directly affected by those attacks. There was a big gathering. Thousands and thousands of people in Sonoma County sort of converged upon the Luther Burbank Center to grieve together, to try to find some hope together. And I know that at one point there was a banner that was created that day and unfurled. I think it was about 25 feet long on this beautiful, this series of tables. And we all got out our Sharpies and started signing it for the people in New York. And we rediscovered our own community in that experience too. I don't know if you remember this, shortly after September 11th, we would pass people on the streets and we would connect with them. We would say to them, how are you doing? And we would wait long enough to get the actual answer to that question. We were invested in that connection. I think we all remember that. We were exercising our faith in our community. Now, we have to get real about this too. As the emergency fades, so does sometimes our commitment to exercise that faith in each other. Human nature, I think it is. It's just very tough to keep up day after day. But we file that experience away, and it becomes a part of our reference bank, because we know that another day is going to come when we need all the examples of faith we can muster. For many of us, that day came on October 8th of 2017, when it seemed like the gates of hell itself opened up and threatened to drag us all in against our will. 100,000 of us became evacuees, refugees, many would say. 7,500 homes and structures lost. 24 souls in our own community who were no longer here to relish the acts of faith that were about to come. As you may know, I was on the air quite a lot during those days. I spent the first 24 days on the air, and it gave me a very unique window, an amazing, miraculous window to exactly what we were capable of. I saw the shock and awe, and then the evolution of us beginning to accept and beginning to heal. Faith in our community, we had to go from dire straits to hope. How did we get there from here? We got there with the help of each other. Everyone has a favorite number. For some, it's 7. Others, other numbers. My favorite number became 14,000 during the fires. 14,000. That's the number of calls that the volunteer center received the first week of the fires. Not from people who needed help, but from people who said, how can I help? How can I help? 14,000. In the midst of all of that chaos, amazing. We were raised up by the chants of hundreds who lined the streets at the fairgrounds at the change of shift. Remember that? When a brand new team of first responders was coming out to take on the fight. And we cheered and we brought posters and we tried to lift them up as they went back out to do the difficult work in those dangerous, deadly areas. Thank you, we appreciate you, we've got your backs, we will hold you up. That's how faith in our community demonstrated itself in those days. That's one way. Our community came together in a way I will never forget, I know we will never forget. There were banners, I heard about them, reaching across the overpasses, thanking first responders and fire agencies, law enforcement, Sonoma County. Everybody came from outside Sonoma County to help us fight these fires. And I had heard that there was one sign, I think it was on a telephone pole somebody told me about, that said, KSRO, the voice of our angels. And it was the singular, most humbling moment of my life. I can't imagine that changing, but I guess we never know what we never know. In my temporary home, which was a motel on Santa Rosa Avenue, I don't know if any of you were there also, there was a group of six firefighters who were in the room next to us. They were there because that was one of the only places where they could get rest. There was no more room for these mutual aid agencies who came in to help us to sleep. The fire camps were full. So they got a motel room where they could. So there are six of them there from Contra Costa County. And I'm there in the motel room. All of a sudden, I start hearing some music that's very familiar to me. It's got a beat. I can almost dance to it. So I walked outside of the motel, and I followed the sound of the music. And it was out at the end of the property by the pool. And here are these six firefighters from Contra Costa County, not resting during their rest period. They are out there at the pool doing their push-ups, doing their pull-ups, doing their burpees, doing things that would make most of us end up in the hospital in traction. And they were doing it all to the soundtrack of Top Gun. I mean, does it get any more Hollywood than that? Right into the danger zone. That's what they were doing. It was inspirational. I was like, shouldn't you guys be taking a nap? No. But that's the kind of commitment that we found in each other and in those who came to be of assistance to us. This church, this whole church, every adjoining room of this church became shelter, became a landing spot for clothing and hygiene items and comfort. And I've seen the pictures of many of you sitting around some part of this church, listening to the radio to see what was coming and what would happen next. And all of the while, going to work. I am a firm believer that the reason that we are in the shape we are in 2019 is because everybody went to work. Everybody did that thing that they're most remarkable at. They weren't concerned about their own circumstances. Many of the firefighters weren't concerned that their own houses were burning as they were out saving others. It's an amazing reason to have faith in the communities. About 3 weeks after the fires, Senator Mike McGuire asked me to be a part of something called a Day of Remembrance at the SRJC. The first time, really, that our community had the opportunity to get together and pray and wish and hope. I was very grateful for the national leaders who came to be with us on that day. And I was very grateful when they left. I said, listen, go out and get us all the federal dollars you can. We're going to need every single one of them. Now go away. Because it became clear that we were saving ourselves. Probably Superman wasn't coming. But within our community, we had the grace, we had the fortitude, and we needed the time to get back to our own business of healing ourselves and healing each other. It's an amazing place, this place we call home. I kept feeling the muscle of faith getting stronger and bigger and more thorough than it had been ever before. To this day, it's important for us to remember community members who are still stuck. People, as we near the 22nd month anniversary of these fires, are still stuck, still in the decision-making process. Can we rebuild? Can we afford it? What should we do? So for all of those of us who are lucky enough to have moved past the fires in many regard, let's keep in mind that there are others who over the next 2 months will make some very difficult and very heartbreaking decisions. And so let our faith in community shore them up until they no longer need it and can be examples themselves. A lot of times when we talk about faith in community, we look out across the world, we look across our borders, and we think, that's too big, that's too much, how can I possibly have an effect on the matters at hand that so envelop us as human beings that are not the example of our best and purest selves? What can we do? It's daunting. It's daunting for me. And so we try to gather ourselves around that which we can affect, that which we can change. And that begins in our own communities. That's all about us. That's the good news and the other news too, because it's not easy. But when we keep exercising our faith in one another, the people that we see next to us, that we interact with every day, if we pay just a little bit more attention to what's going on in that person we encounter or that person we see every day, we can exercise our faith, particularly when it might be a moment when they cannot exercise theirs. That's how this thing works. It is very contagious, very contagious. Don't underestimate the power that we each have in ourselves to affect the lives around us. Often, it's about understanding and recognizing when our own faith is shaky. Mine was a little shaky walking up to this podium, for example. When it needs to be exercised, when there's a break between disasters, that's when we go to work. But man, we get tired. You get tired? I get tired. The path to consistent faith has the ability to make us bone weary. So I have a question for you. I wonder, is there anyone in the church today who has precisely the amount of faith they need? I'm sorry, I don't need any more faith. I'm covered for today. Anybody feel like they're at, that's what I was thinking. Nobody's raising their hand. So I was wondering if we, since we are gathered together in this beautiful church, if we might do a little exercise of our own, of our faith. If perhaps that exercise can shore up the people in this very room who might need a little bit of help. Are you game? You willing to exercise with me? Hit it, Norm.
Just an ordinary man.
Can we get up?
When I close my eyes,
can we stand up with one another?
The way this world
crank it, Norm.
Shall be when we all walk hand in hand.
Let's inspire each other, shall we?
Child cries, for a crust of bread. When the last man dies, for his words that he said, when their shelter
opens, come on, bring it.
The poor is dead. We shall be free, yeah. When the last thing we notice is the color of skin, when the first thing we look for is the beauty within, when the skies and the oceans are clean again, we shall be free. We shall be free. We shall be free.
Oh, that looks good.
Stand straight, walk proud, 'cause we shall be free. We're free to love.
Thank you.
Anyone we choose. When this world's big enough for all different views, when we all can worship in our own kind of
views. You got it. Like, and sounds like, and thank you so kindly for letting me be a part of it today.